but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Side right now, they have allowed an average of 41 points a game this season. They've traveled all the way out here to Oregon, and the home team only has 17 on them. They're on the Sam Houston side. You're thinking, this has to be our night.
Whoa!
Oh, they block it. There they go. The block, the scoop, and this is going to be a score, and Sam Houston will have the lead.
Not a good Saturday night in Corvallis, and continues to swirl around the coaching search, the state of the union down at OSU, etc. Ryan Harlan covers the team, Beaver's Edge of On3 Sports, and he joins us now. Ryan, where do you want to start with that Saturday night loss as a 3-touchdown favorite at home?
Oh, I mean, like, you could start anywhere, right? Like, you guys, you know, mentioning about the stats and all that stuff. I mean, like, the fact that you outgained an opponent and held them under 160 yards, Oregon State, Judah, since 1996, was 24-0 before this game. They are now 24-1 when they hold opponents under 160 yards. Like, it was truly the most, you know, sickos committee game that you could have ever have watched. I mean, just looking at everything from this game, you outgain a Sam Houston team that was allowing over 500 yards of offense, 41 points a game, and you could only muster up 17, and you outgave them in every statistical category. I mean, it's the perfect microcosm of what this season has been. Like, I mean, special teams miscues, you know, that's just more of a, like, of course, when you have two games early on that you, when AT took over, where, like, they weren't, you know, quite as bad. They were pretty manageable in, you know, Lafayette and then Washington State. But, yeah. Just overall, I think a game where, you know, if you're Oregon State, you just kind of burn the tape and you move on the next week and go on to Tulsa.
That's the problem, Ryan. It's like, even if they were to win this game, it's not like it matters. It doesn't save the season, but you're right. It's like watching that loss was just pitiful. I want to ask you, like, looking at this team, and, you know, they spent $1.5 million on Malik Murphy. That has not worked out. Jabari Johnson has done some things, but I don't know if he's the answer. Like, is there anything from this roster that is, like, good enough to carry on to next season? Like, you can say, okay, well, this is where they were good enough. This is what they did well. We can carry that into next season. Or is it kind of a whole situation where they're going to need to hire a new coach and just start completely over?
I think you start completely over, and especially at the quarterback position. I don't think the future quarterback of the roster is currently on this 2025 roster for Oregon State going forward. I mean, Malik was going to be a one-year rental, in my opinion. I still stand by that, even now. Jabari Johnson, yeah, has kind of done you some things a little bit, but I don't think he's also the guy either at the same time. But also too, like, you have a new staff coming in, right? I think you're going to have a different sort of roster, mostly of, like, guys that, you know, end up leaving. I think you have some guys that maybe stay a little bit that haven't really seen a lot of playing time this year, but I think it's a blank slate, to be quite honest, coming into next year. But just because, like, it's just one of those kind of seasons where I think everybody's kind of looking on to, you know, the end of the year and turning the page to 2026.
Well, and looking at that, like, what talk about the coaching search a little bit, because we've heard some names. Canzano's kind of shot down some names. You know, the big one, Ed Orgeron, like, Canzano's kind of shot that one down. Like, that's not a real thing. Like, who are you looking at to be your replacement? Who are the kind of the fans that you talk to looking at to be maybe the next Oregon State head football coach?
Yeah, I never thought Coach Show really had a lot of legs to it to begin with. But in terms of kind of what I've been hearing through the grapevine, is Tosh Lapoy has kind of picked up a little bit of steam. Oregon's defensive coordinator, like, I have heard from those around the program that he has expressed interest in the Oregon State job. I've also heard Jamarcus Shepherd has picked up some steam as well, too. I've heard some scuttle on Jim Mora, but I think that's just more of, you know, kind of you hear things as the coaching search goes on of guys that could be potentially interested. And then obviously Paul Christ, I've heard a significant amount on that, but nothing really kind of definitive as who's a clear leader in the clubhouse as of right now, who's the leading guy. But just definitely a lot of different names, you know, kind of the ebbs and flows of, you know, who you hear interested in who might take this job. And to be quite honest, I'm like, I don't know who's a perfect fit for this job. I do not trust Scott Barnes to make the right call in terms of getting a guy to hit the ground running and make you competitive in year one in the Pac-12. And that's more of a, the stakes are really high to nail this hire. And there's more, I think, of an onus now, even more so kind of coming off of this Sam Houston loss where it's you got to hit the ground running if you truly think, if you're Oregon State, if you truly think you can compete in the Pac-12 right away in year one in 2026 of this newly rebuilt Pac-12, if you think you're at the top of it.
Scott Barnes is an interesting angle to all of this. You know, he's gotten the university through a lot of things. He's been through a lot of things himself personally. He's been there quite some time. But I do agree with you that for the moment right now, it's, you know, the skepticism is warranted whether or not, you know, he can be the one to make the right call on this. Is there another shoe to drop with all this over the next few weeks before we get to the new year? Or is from a athletic department standpoint, Ryan, or is Scott Barnes, do you think, still there for the long haul enough to where, you know, he's not going to be fired or let go, so he's going to be the one making this call? Or does any part of you foresee, you know, another shoe to drop as it relates to who the people making this hire could be?
I mean, with another shoe to drop, it feels like there could be one. It's kind of how I think this entire year has panned out with kind of everything blueprint sports related. It always seemed to be like something new was always going to come out. So I don't want to rule out the possibility of that. But I think for the long term, I think Scott Barnes is still there. Ultimately, it's Murphy's call. And kind of knowing her background, mostly in academics, she defers to Scott on a lot of things. And I think if there were a point where, you know, the seat gets really, really hot for Barnes, I think Murphy would have to make that call. But ultimately, it's just, I think you kind of have to see how things play out the rest of the year. And I think Barnes is making that hire, you know, when we get to that new coach press conference around December, end of November.
Ryan Harlan, he's at Ryan_Harlan7, covers the Beavs for Beaver's Edge of On3 Sports. Thanks for popping on with us, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, of course. Appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Some questions for the Beavs, to say the least, coming down the home stretch, Steven. And look, at the end of the day, Giathi Murthy probably isn't going to make a move on Scott Barnes or other athletic department leadership at this time, post Brent Blaylock move already in the rear view. But it's a tough time, I think, to be a Beaver fan to be optimistic about anything going forward as it relates to football right now.
Yeah, I mean, how can you be optimistic? You really can't be, just with how the season's gone. And there were some, not like there were a ton of expectations, but we had people on saying, look, you know, things go right, 10 wins for the Beavs this year, 9 wins. Well, they're going to go two wins, maybe 3 wins if you're lucky. So
they're favored at Tulsa.
I'll take Tulsa. But I mean,
I can't believe that's a real sentence.
I know, right? But I can't believe I said that they lost to Sam Houston State. But that's the thing. You can't, right? How can you trust Scott Barnes to make the right choice right now? You just can't. And so you have to put your blind faith in it and say, look, he's made a couple right decisions before, right? Like he's hired Cam. He's done some positive things. Let's hope he can figure it out for one more time for Beaver football going into 2026.
One time.
New Pac-12. One time, baby. Come on.
One time. Two games to go for the Beavs. At Tulsa, then a bye week, and then at Wazoo to close up shop on 2025. 5-5 is coming up next. We'll rip through that and set the table for Packers-Eagles Monday Night Football here on 750 The Game in Portland. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn in for John Canzano here on the Bald-Faced Truth.